It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Wes Moss, your host. We are here rain or shine. Today, mostly rain. And that's a big deal when you've got four little kids at the house. And you want them to be out and about, running around. And then you look at a day like today, I open up WSB Weather, check out Kirk Mellish's blog, and it says rain, rain, rain all day. I'm thinking, I don't know what we do with these kids. Well, we'll probably get them out in the rain. So, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We are here on a Sunday morning to talk about the things that you're worried about in the world. And there's, of course, the scary world we live in. And we have gone through a year, 2018, that is full of emotion and peaks and valleys in markets, not to mention politically. And we're going to talk about that. I know that there are worries when it comes to, does diversification work? Do bonds still work? We had a lot of great calls last week that really helped me understand what you are worried about as investors. So I wanted to talk about that today. We wrote about that this week, and it is the topic of conversation. Are bonds safe? Do they still hedge against stock market drops? We'll also recover or talk a little bit more about this all-important rule. We had so much feedback from last week's show about folks saying thank you for covering the topic that it's not talked about a ton because it's not the most exciting piece of information, but it's arguably the most important when it comes to investing, and that is how much can you take from your portfolio. What's on average every year, what are you allowed to withdraw without being, so that you're not worried about running out of money completely? And if you think about one of the primary fears we have in life is running out of money. So as you can imagine, a withdrawal rate, once you stop making money and you get into retirement, you've saved all these years, how much can you take? I've talked about the $1,000 a month rule for many years now. The $1,000 a month rule is based on, based on the round numbers of let's call it $250,000, actually $240,000 to be exact. $240,000 times 5% in a given year equals $12,000 exactly. Divide that by 12 months, it's $1,000 a month. It's meant to give you an idea or a guide of when you're saving money, how you're saving money. What are the benchmarks, and what does it mean to get to a certain level or a benchmark or a hurdle? And I think it's important for all of us to remember as we are slugging away day after day, week after week, month after month, saving money. Well, what are we doing it for? What is it going to produce for me in 20 and 30 and 40 years from now? And the $1,000 a month rule is designed for you to have a benchmark in your head. Say, okay, for every about $250,000. That's going to mean my own personal pension of $1,000 a month on average over time. And it's important to understand that a rule of thumb is a rule of thumb. It's not an exact measure. It's not something that it's meant to be as a guide. So the thought of the $1,000 a month rule then dovetailed with the 4% rule, which is kind of the original study by a man named William Bengen, who had a degree from MIT, very smart guy, did a study back in the early 90s and said, hey, if I had retired at any given year, 1927, 1928, 1942, 1957, and I took out 4% of my money every single year, or 4% year one, and then I ratcheted that same amount up by inflation every single year, and I was invested half in stocks, half in bonds, how long would it last? And it became a very important study because it showed us that if you stayed invested and you rebalanced every year, for the most part, 80% of the time, 80% of cases, money did not run out for 50 years or more. There were a few instances, 20% of the time, where money did run out if you had ultimately the worst possible timing. So let's say you retired right as the Great Depression started, and you suffered that kind of downdraft in markets right away, or you retired in 1937 and the market dropped from 37, 38, 39. There was a period of time down 33%. Or if you retired in 1973, where markets went down 73, 74, not good years for markets, stocks went down 37%. What did those periods of time mean for you personally, or an investor that would have retired in that period of time? Did they run out of money or not? And the answer is there's a couple of instances where money did run out. In these cases, they ran out after about 35, 36 years. That study is important because it gives us a guide to say, okay, well, if I take 4% of my money year one, and then I take that same amount plus inflation every year for the rest of my retirement career, what are my chances of running out of money in 35 years? Well, if you look at Bengen's study, you have a pretty good shot of not running out for at least 35 years or more in most cases. What we did at my firm the last couple of weeks is try to bring that study up to date. I wanted to see what that same methodology looked like if you retired in 2000, right before the crash of 2001, 2002. What about retiring in 2007, right before we entered the Great Recession? What did that look like? So I want to revisit those numbers and talk and focus more. We didn't get a chance last week to focus in on probably arguably another important or critical piece of that, and that's dealing with inflation. So we didn't get time last week to talk about the impact of inflation, because it's a very big part of the conversation. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about this relationship between stocks and bonds as an investor. Many calls came in, so we'll start there. Many calls came in last week that said, wait a minute, Wes, I'm worried about my portfolio, because when the market corrected down over 10% in the S&P 500, you may have logged in and looked at your account that day. And whether you have an account at Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab, we live in a real-time, real-access world where the value of our 401k, the value of our portfolio is just a tap away, whether it's on our desktop or on your iPhone or your smartphone. You log in, and in 2 seconds you say, oh, my retirement is up 1,000 or up 10,000 or down 1,000 or down 10,000. So we live and breathe. It's almost unavoidable to see what's happening in the world around us as investors. And you probably logged in during the last correction that we had, and you notice your portfolio was, the stock side was down. And hey, I own bonds, Wes, for protection or safety, but the bond side was down. So you look at this sea of red, and you said, wait a minute, I thought that this side of my portfolio or my 401k, it's invested in bonds and it's not supposed to go down when the stock market does. And that relationship didn't work. And it brings up a very important question. Does the diversification of fixed income or bonds, does it still protect you? Does it still work? And I know you're worried about it, because I had several calls about it last week, several emails throughout this week. And of course, in Money Matters fashion, we will do that same thing today. So I'll open up the phone lines, and I want to take your calls and questions about the world that we live in, the investment landscape that you're having to navigate, whether it's an IRA question or a pension question, or has something to do with you and your family making a decision. Hey, we could go this way or that way. Let's just let Wes chime in. Let's call Money Matters on a Sunday morning and get some direction or some objective advice as to which direction might make sense for me and my spouse or me and my family as we are headed into retirement, or maybe headed to pay for education for our kids. So, good morning. The number here in the studio, phone lines are open, 404-872-0750. Phone lines again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So for years you've heard that, listen, hey, diversification, that's the key, or really asset allocation, which involves a mix of owning stocks that are, let's call that the risky side of the equation, and bonds, which are the conservative side of the equation. And the story goes something like this. When stocks correct and they go down, let's call it 10% or 20% or 30% or more, very much like the two corrections we've had in the last decade and a half. If I'm sure you remember the 2000s when we were down 3 years in a row. Market was down about 50% at one point during the Great Recession in 2000. That started in the beginning of 2007 or the end of 07, 8, and 2009. There was a point where the S&P 500 was down 56%. 5-6%, yes. So when stocks correct, bonds, on the other hand, should move in the opposite direction. Or at least on those scary days or those scary weeks or months, that's where you're expecting to get some sort of buffer against stock drops and stock volatility. So during the Great Financial Crisis, S&P 500 for the year, the full calendar year of 2008, was down 36%. There was a period of time where it was even worse than that. And the slide continued into 2009 before markets turned around. But if you look at what happened during that calendar year, so we're looking at 2008, stocks were abysmal. But if you owned three-month government bonds, so really short-term government bonds, meant for safety, not getting a whole lot of yield out of a three-month government bond, you had a rate of return, though, that given year of 1.59%. The 10-year Treasury bond, the full rate of return that you got through 2008, a whopping 20%. You had a 20% positive return during 2008 versus 36% drop for stocks. 2000 through 2002, similar. S&P 500 dropped three consecutive years, down 9%, down 12%, down 22%, 3 years in a row. The return on the 10-year Treasury bond during those same 3 years, up 16.5%, up 5.5%, up 15% respectively. So essentially, stocks went down, bonds went up. The strategy worked, and it has continued to work that way for most of the corrections on the stock side that we've lived through. So I want to talk about that relationship because there was a little bit of a breakdown in that relationship in the most recent market pullback. I want to explain to you what happened, and then we're going to talk about that relationship moving forward. Do bonds still make sense? Do they still protect you? Also, phone lines 404-872-0750 and 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Straight to the phones, 404-872-0750. Fred joins us from Marietta. Fred, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Not much. I'm about a year away from retirement, and I purchased an annuity, and I hear a lot of bad things about annuities, and I'm wondering if it's worthwhile taking the expense hit to move it into a fund.
So you feel stuck. Fred, a couple of questions are important. What kind of annuity is it?
I believe it's a fixed rate annuity.
Okay, so you mean a fixed index annuity where you have index. Kind of the sales pitch on that is you can't lose money, but it can go up with the market.
Yes.
I love that sales pitch, man. It's like the best pitch of all time. How about this? Oh, you can, it's tied to the market. So you get your market upside or some of it. And the sales pitch is that you can get a big chunk of it, but you can never lose money. It sounds like the perfect investment, isn't it? It's like the easiest sales pitch on the planet. The problem is that there are really some really significant strings attached to that. Number one, there's a lot more to that story as you can expect, because there's no free lunch, right? And you're right. The problem with these is once you get in them, there are these huge penalties if you change your mind. But we're going to talk about that. So important. A lot of folks own these things, and I want to give you my opinion on this. So stay on the line. When we come back, we're talking to Fred about he's stuck in an annuity. You're listening to Money Matters.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Your host, Wes Moss, every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, to take your calls, questions, 404-872-0750. Before 11 o'clock today, we're talking about this topic about bonds. Do they give you diversification? Do they still work in a diversified portfolio? The last correction that we just had, that we just lived through, it didn't look like or didn't feel like your bonds did the heavy lifting you expected them to do. And of course, I'm generalizing this. Some bonds did fine. Others went down. That's the question today. What still works? I also want to continue to talk about this very important 4% rule when it comes to withdrawing your money over time in retirement. And we're going to talk all about that during Money Matters today. Also, we'll go to the phones here, 404-872-0750. Fred still joins us on the line. Fred, you were, sounds like you're in the rain, Fred.
Oh, yeah, I'm out and about in this mess.
Man, it's rough. Now, it's a lot like what happened with you and your annuity. So you bought an annuity. Tell me about what the penalty is to get out of this annuity.
You know, I'm not sure. It's pretty steep. It's like 12% of what's in there.
How much, let me ask you this, how much of your portfolio, so percentage-wise, was this in a 401k or probably an IRA or outside an IRA?
No, outside. It was just monies I had that I needed to do something with.
Now, what percentage of your overall, let's call it retirement savings, is in this annuity?
About half.
About half. Wow. Okay. Here's the deal with these things, Fred, and this is what makes this difficult, is that just like you had mentioned, annuities that the kind of annuity that you're in, whether it's they go by a couple different names. I still call them index annuity or fixed index annuities. And I know that they've modified the name on these a couple different times, but essentially you put money in, they tell you can't lose money. The catch on that, Fred, is the catch is that you can't take the money out for 7 years, 10 years, in your case, I don't know, 12 years. So they have these really long lockup periods where they put handcuffs on you. And that's the first way they say you can't lose money is that, okay, well, you can't touch it for 10 years without paying a massive penalty. Usually that penalty is to pay back the commission that was paid to the broker that sold it. So that's one. And two, if you think about it, if you lock anything up, it's pretty tough to lose money over 10 years. Now, you look at almost any index, whether you look at real estate or publicly traded REITs or any kind of equities, whether it's large, mid, small, international, emerging markets, it's really tough to find an investment that you would put money into, let's call it a publicly traded equity or index, and lose money if you had the discipline to actually stay invested and reinvest dividends for an entire decade. So part of this is that the way these annuity companies work is they're saying, look, we know, we're the annuity company, we know that over 10 years, we're pretty tough to lose money. But you don't know that. And we're going to kind of impose this handcuff system on you so that you're locked up for a decade, let's say, or more. And knowing that during that period of time, we can at least probably give you your money back over the course of 10 years. So that's part of the proposition here, is that your money's really locked up. And then if you want to access it, in many of these cases, you're allowed to access a portion of it. Typically, let's call it 10% of the total per year. But I'm not a big fan of having a product dictate my liquidity. I don't like a product telling me that I can or cannot get to my money without paying a big chunk or a big penalty. So that's the first part. The second part is, what is your actual cost here? So let's call it 10%. You put in, let's say, $100,000. If you wanted to get out of this thing, you get $90,000 back. I mean, that's a massive, massive penalty. It's a tremendous amount of money. And Fred here has put a big chunk of his own personal money in this. And So you have to understand really what is the hard cost. Sometimes you'll get bonuses on these things and you might get a bonus and then they take away the bonus and that's really not a penalty. They're just kind of taking away some fictitious money they gave you to begin with. So you've got to really understand, are they actually penalizing your actual principal or are they penalizing some sort of fictitious bonus that they gave you that you have to stay for 10 years anyway to keep? So you've got to understand that. My thought here is this. You really have to understand what is the opportunity cost of leaving it here. So if you were going to leave that money in cash anyway, or you were going to leave that money in short-term bonds, and the prospect for that is up 2% per year anyway, then you may want to leave the money because you're not going to get, even though many of these annuities tell you and kind of sell you on the fact that you're going to get market upside, I don't know if I've ever seen one that really does that. I've seen so many of these products and they say they're tied to the S&P 500, or they're tied to the NASDAQ, or they're tied to some stock index. And you think automatically, oh, wow, on average, stocks go up 10% a year. I'll take part of that. What's part of that? 5, 6, 7%? I'll take that per year. But the formulas don't allow for that. They typically, that's not what happens in the real world. The formula has something to do with the S&P 500, but then it gets capped or it's a monthly amount and you can only make so much per month. And that's not really how the S&P 500 works. So what you're left with is a product that has upside from what I've seen in best case scenarios, 2 to 3% in a given year. Now, if you're going to leave your money in cash and you're okay not to touch something for 10 years, then okay, maybe it's okay to leave it where it is then stuck in this annuity. If you're just going to put it in treasury bonds and you're going to make 2, maybe 3% a year for the next couple of years anyway, or next 10 years, maybe you leave it. But what I would rather do, and this is, I don't want to just say it's a terrible investment but and not give you an alternative, Fred. What I would rather see for really short-term money or really safe money, your conservative money, and we're talking about this today here on the show, bonds, The 10-year treasury bond today is close to 3%. So if you want to buy an investment that is actually guaranteed by the U.S. government, not what a company says. Remember, guarantees are only as good as the guarantor. And when it's an annuity company that is guaranteeing you, quote, guaranteeing you money, you got to be careful. What happens if that company goes out of business? Then you've got a real problem. From my perspective, the only real safe money is in a U.S. Treasury bond. So what I would rather see somebody do, and this is something that's happened pretty recently, if you want to keep your money really safe, even short-term Treasury bonds now pay 2%. So I was actually buying 1 and 2 year U.S. Treasury bonds because rates have gone up. And now, instead of getting a fraction of a percent, you can get 2%. I was buying treasury bonds this week that are 1 year. So it matures in 12 months from now for a little over 2%. I mean, that is, it doesn't sound like a lot. You're not jumping up and down. Nobody's giving you a high five because you're getting 2%. But interest rates have started to go up. And that's an important thing for everyone to understand, because if you want to really, truly have some sort of backing by the U.S. government and not a company saying, oh, hey, we're gonna do this and this for you, then that's really where I find real safety. If you want something that is very, very safe, you've got to look at some sort of treasury bond. And that's what the opportunities are starting as interest rates go up. So what I would tell you, Fred, is if the money was going to be your safe money anyway, maybe it's not worth the penalty. It doesn't sound like you know exactly what the penalty is. It's probably something like 10%. But if you look at this over your overall investment pie, here's the opportunity cost. If you think if stocks go up, let's call it on average, or even a diversified portfolio, let's say something really conservative like 7% a year, and this is, I'm telling you, you're kind of, your best case scenario is probably 2% a year. You're losing 5% a year to opportunity costs. So over 2 years, you've lost 10% on opportunity cost. And that's how I'd look at this. I'd say, well, I'll get out of this thing if my opportunity cost is 5% a year, 10% over 2 years. That's too much for me. And that's when I would, that if it were me, I would be much, I'd feel a lot better doing something simpler, no lockups, liquid, and just look at treasury bonds because they're presenting an opportunity right now. 404-872-0750. We're going to continue to go to the phones here. Let's continue to go to the phones here. Robert joins us on the line from Loganville. Robert, what's going on? How can I help?
Hey, good morning, Wes. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question related to the stable part of my retirement portfolio, which is right now 25%. 11% of that's in cash, 11% CD, 3% is in Vanguard ETF B&D. And I want to reallocate the cash. Am I better off going with the short-term CD route?
Okay, so let me ask you this. You have 11% right now in cash that you'd like to do something with, right?
Correct.
And this is all within Vanguard, or is this somewhere else and you're just using Vanguard ETFs?
It's all within Fidelity.
Oh, it's in Fidelity. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
You know, I would look at, rather than buying something like BND right now, which again, that's full disclosure, I own some of that, and it's a very safe, stable place to access a variety of bonds. It basically tracks the total bond market index, which is about 80% on average government-oriented bonds. So there's a lot of safety there. Very little default risk. And then they have some corporate bonds in there too. That's why the yield is a little bit higher than Treasury. So today, if I look at BND, I see my yield today. Let's look at it as we speak. It looks like the yield is about 2.5%, give or take. That's a 12-month yield. It says the SEC yield is at 2.9. Here's what you got to look at, though, Robert. I'm glad you talked about called and asked about this, because it brings up a really important point. The duration, the average maturity on the bonds inside of BND is about 8.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and it gives it a duration of about a little over six. So that means that if interest rates go up 1% from here, and because bond prices and interest rates move in an inverse relationship, you would see a drop in price for BND of about 6%, right?
Yep.
I think right now the opportunities, and I was just talking to this on the last caller, you may want to camp out in these shorter term treasuries instead, and versus getting into, as rates continue to climb, if you were just to buy a 1-year treasury, you really guarantee yourself 2%, and there's no guarantees in the world anyway, but that's a really safe way to get about 2%. And next year it'll mature, and if interest rates are higher, then you can reinvest that same amount of money in something like BND as rates start to stabilize. I want to see rates kind of stabilize at a new level before I go jump in and buy a whole bunch of new bond ETFs. And that's my advice to you, is that be careful about jumping headfirst into more bond ETFs. I own them and I still like them, but the way rates are going now and the fact that you can get over 2% in 1 year, for goodness sakes, a 1-year treasury, you can get 2.25 if you got 2 years. That to me is a good place to camp out as rates normalize. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to run a quick break. The number 404-872-0750. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Stay tuned right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Stay tuned to the 10 o'clock hour as we break down and talk about the relationship between stocks and bonds. Do bonds still provide the cushion you're looking for when stocks go down? And that's the question mark after the last correction that we just went through. I'm going to continue to go to the phones here. Let's go to Michael, who joins us from Atlanta. Hey, Michael. Good morning. Welcome to the show. How can I help?
Yeah, good morning, Wes. Great show. I love tuning in every Sunday.
Thanks, man. What's going on?
So I'm... You know, I'm still working. I plan to keep working, and I don't invest in bonds, but I do buy some stocks. And I was going to ask you, what weight do you put on the yields and also the P&E? For instance, a stock like Stana Corporation is paying a 6.2% yield, and their P&E is at 10. So isn't that an under price stock?
Well, you've got to look at, so, okay, let me unpack this for just a second. So PE, for those listening, that's price to earnings. It's effectively how much are we paying as a multiple of what a company earns. It's a really important metric. And usually you want to pay less is more. Paying 10 times earnings sounds better than paying 20 times earnings, right?
Yeah.
The problem, though, and what you've really got to look at, so PEs are important. But you've got to look at them relative to the rest of the industry. So if you look at utilities, and most utilities trade in lower multiples, then a multiple of 10 might not necessarily sound as good when you start comparing it to its peers. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the 10 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. I'm going to kind of continue with this same train of thought. Stay tuned. Money Matters 10 o'clock hour right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.